All right. Good morning, everybody. And it's good to be here continuing with our new year that last Sunday, Jimmy started off and kicked us off on the new year with his message about truth and about how Jesus came to help us know the truth that God wants. And that's one of the things that we're going to see as we look at this series that I'm starting today. It's going to be a three-part series. I'll get into that in just a second. But look at the slide. You can see that there's two images there of people that have taken the high ground to get a perspective of what's out there. Because whenever we head into unknown territory, we need to have perspective on it. And that's what we're going to cover today. So as we get ready to go into this series, and you can see in your bulletin, there's an insert that has kind of the main outline and some of the things. We'll be filling in some of those blanks as we go through. But let's just go ahead and pray and put this this moment of the message in God's hands and ask Him to help us. As we look at various portions of His Word, we're going to see several different passages, but let's go ahead and pray for that, and then we'll get started with this first part of this series, a three-part series. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have given us the freedom to come into a new year and be able to worship together here at Grace Community Church, to be able to study Your Word and proclaim it. We pray that You'll help us as we look toward this new year that has so many unknown things, and that we would look to You to be the one to give us perspective, that Your Word would help us to be able to have a guide map, a roadmap of what we need to do and how we need to respond in the things that are going to be ahead of us in this new year. So we thank You for that. We pray that You'll lead us and guide us, that Your Holy Spirit would teach us through Your Word and through the exposition that I'm going to try to do, and You would help us all to understand and grow in our knowledge of what You want us to do and grow in our relationship to You through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so there we have our first slide up, perspective for the future. Like I said right before the prayer, we have people up here on the high ground looking to get a perspective. And whenever we go to an unfamiliar place or we're facing unfamiliar times, we try to get some perspective so that we can be prepared. We look at a map, we get a guidebook. If we're going to go to a city that we've never been to, we say, well, we want to see what's there so we can have an idea when we get there, what we can expect, or at least a little bit. It's not just going to catch us completely off guard. And it's true for our life. As we move into the future of a new year, this is 2022, and there's a lot of unfamiliar territory ahead of us. We need to get a good perspective, and then we need to keep it all year. So will Christ come back this year? We've been saying that every year. Christians have been saying that ever since the first century. And we don't know. And maybe He will. Maybe He won't. Maybe He'll come back in 2 years, in 20 years, in 100 years. We don't know. That's in God's hands. That's in His timing. But we always have to be prepared. Will we have more tragedy, more difficulty this new year than we've had in the past 2 years with this pandemic and with other situations? Will we get a new job, a new home, move to a new state? Will some other thing happen in our life that we don't know? It's an unknown thing. And in this series, I'm hoping that we'll get a biblical perspective for the future. And we're going to cover it in three parts. So we'll see what we need for what's ahead, not only in this year, but I hope for the rest of our Christian life, because these are just the basics that need to stay with us always. So part one, which we're going to see today, is called Get Perspective. We're going to do like the people in the first slide, get up on the high ground, try and get a perspective of what we need to know that are the basic things we need to know. And then part two, we're going to get even more or a better perspective. And then in the third part, we're going to keep, how do we keep that perspective and help it to guide us as we go into the new year. So let's, as we move forward, let's look at that. Here's the outline of today's message. We're going to do part one. We're going to get perspective. We're going to try and get the big picture, like it says there on the right. So we want to get the big picture. We're going to look in Mark chapter 7 and 8, cover some of these passages. And I just want to say up front, you all are familiar with me. I talk really fast. I try to get too much information in too little time. And today, we're covering each of these four passages, could be four sermons. And if you really did it the right way, you could preach up a storm on each one of these. And I'm just trying to give the big picture. So we're going to cover not every single detail that's in each of these passages, but we're going to look at just what's the main idea there, the main concept. And that's going to help us as we go through these four passages. So let's read the first passage in Mark chapter 7. And it says, verses 14 to 23, the whole passage starts in verse 1. Now, this is a passage that's well known. Jesus is debating with the Pharisees about tradition. they're accusing him and his disciples, you don't keep the traditions. And he says, well, but you by your tradition have nullified the word of God, because God says, honor your father and mother. And you say, no, but if a man says, well, what I have is given as an offering, I don't have to take care of my parents. And they're having this debate. And when Jesus finishes the debate, he goes to a public teaching to the multitude. We're going to get there. Let's go to that passage now. It says, and after he called the multitude to him again, he began saying to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand there's nothing outside the man which going into him can defile him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And when leaving the multitude, he entered the house. His disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach and is eliminated? Thus, he declared all foods clean. And he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Now, that's from the New American Standard translation. But we have this passage here. Jesus is finishing up this debate that he had, where they said, oh, you guys eat food without washing your hands. Your disciples were eating food and they didn't wash their hands. And that's the tradition that we have, and they're supposed to keep it. And Jesus goes to teach the people. And that's what we're going to see now as we go to this first segment, or this first portion. Jesus shows us what the heart of the problem is. And our biggest problem isn't what's outside of us, but what's inside of us, our heart. And that's why, let me go back to that verse where he says, that which proceeds out of the man is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men. And then down in verse 23 says, all these evil things proceed from within. So he's talking about what's in our heart, and what comes out of the person is the problem. So we could even, and we'll see this when we get to the applications, but we're seeing here, this is the heart of the problem. The biggest problem is what's already inside of us. And that's why he says that, from within, from out of the heart proceed the evil things. All these things proceed from within and defile a person. So the problem is our heart, our inner self, our being, our inner being. So the Greeks called it our ego. The part of man that's that controls us. You know, we would today, I don't know if we would call it maybe our brain or our mind. Our brain is actually the organ, but our mind. And what it is that something within us, and it's the sin nature, it's the old nature, the evil things that come out of us, that's the thing that defiles us. And when he's talking about this, when he says nothing that goes in can contaminate, he's not talking about that in a physical sense or a material. He's talking about that in a moral or a spiritual sense. Because you can eat food that gives you food poisoning. You can take the wrong types of medicines and get intoxicated from medication. You can have secondary side effects, and you can have all kinds of things that can cause problems if you take them in the wrong way. That's not what he's teaching here. He's talking about the ceremonial aspect of eating something without having done the ritual of washing the hands. And so because his disciples hadn't done this, the Pharisees were all up in arms. Oh, you know, they're not washing their hands before they eat. That's a tradition. We've got to keep it. And he had taught them about this tradition and saying, you know, your tradition is not more valid than the word of God. In fact, you use your tradition to violate the word of God. And then he goes on to teach the application from that is that it's not the morally or spiritually speaking, the things that we can take into us that can contaminate us. It's what already is in there that contaminates us, and it comes out in all these out of the heart, from within, all these evil things. And he repeats from within twice, and he repeats evil twice. So he says from within in the first part of that verse, and he says from within, out of the heart proceed the evil thoughts. And then at the end of it, verse 23, all of these evil things proceed from within. So he repeats that it's evil. And that's why we know he's talking about the sin nature. It's in us. It's the problem that causes all else. And we can't forget that. We can't forget that the main thing is that we're sinners. And that's not a popular thing to talk about. People don't like to do that. And as you look at people who preach and teach the Bible, many times they'll say, oh, you know, well, you know, it's... Everybody, you know, nobody's perfect. And God loves us all. And so they kind of gloss over the aspect of sin. It's not popular today to talk about sin. But one of the things we need to get perspective, and that's why I put this as the first thing, we need to remember we're sinners. We need to remember that we have a sin nature, and it causes us to mess up over and over and over again. And if we don't have that perspective as we go into the new year and as we look toward the future and everything else, remember, we always have to remember that, you know, God has to do the work in us. We can't do it ourselves. He's done the work to save us. He's got to do the work to sanctify us. He's got to do the work to take us all the way to glory. And if we're not conscious of that, and we're not keeping that in front of us, we're going to make bad decisions. We're going to go down the wrong road. We need to, the basic thing, the first thing we need to have to get our perspective is, hey, remember who I am. I need to know who I am, and I'm the problem. In fact, I was going to put a little image in here of the old comic strip from the newspapers of Pogo, the little cartoon guy, and the guy said, we have seen the enemy, and it is us. You know, so you look in the mirror, there's the problem. And that's what Jesus is telling them in this first section. And that's the first thing we need to know as we look toward the future, as we look toward getting perspective on what we need to keep in mind for looking ahead, is don't forget who we are. We're the ones that have messed up. We're the ones that needs God's help. We're the ones that are going to continue to cause problems and have situations come up. So let's keep moving forward now. Oh, and on this, I want to recommend, again, you guys know that I use Matthew Henry a lot. He's commented on this, teaching about the inner nature, the sin nature, the what Jesus was saying. And this is what he says in this passage. He says, of all these, the things that Jesus was teaching, he concludes in verse 23 that they come from within, from the corrupt nature. Look what he's saying. That's why I underlined it. They come from within, from the corrupt nature, the carnal mind, the evil treasure in the heart. That's a word that Jesus used when he said evil twice, all right? And so Matthew Henry says, justly is it said that the inward part is very wickedness. It must needs be so when all this comes from within. So when all the things that were named in those preceding verses, and there's a dozen or so things that he names there, all of those come from within. Nothing of what Jesus named comes from without. He said it all comes from within, from the heart. And that's the idea that we have a corrupt, like Matthew Henry says, corrupt nature, the carnal mind, and an evilness in our, a wickedness in our heart that we inherited. And that's the thing that Jesus came to save us from. But we have to keep in mind that basic teaching that we've seen the enemy and he is us. And so that's the thing that we need to keep clear. All right. Now let's read the next scripture that goes with the second passage in Matthew chapter 8, and it's verses 27 to 30. And the second thing we're going to see here is that Jesus is going to identify himself through asking the apostles, who do the people in the world say that I am, and who do you say that I am? So let's read this here. He says, and Jesus went out along with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he questioned his disciples, saying to them, who do the people say that I am? And they told him, saying, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others say one of the prophets. And he continued by questioning them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered for the whole group. Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. And he warned them to tell no one about him. Now, I've underlined twice. The contrast here is Jesus says first time, who do people say that I am? He's talking about the people in the world, the people who are just, you know, out there. They have their opinions. And he says, who do people say that I am? And then he says, but, and there's the contrast, but, he says, but who do you say that I am? And the you there is emphatic. He's emphatic. He's setting up a strong contrast. So let's look at this. So Jesus says to the apostles in this passage, who does the world think I am? Who do people say that I am? And we need to ask ourselves that. Who do the people, you know, our neighbors, our coworkers, the philosophers, the news reporters, you know, Fox, CNN, whoever else, NBC, CBS, who do they say that Jesus is? And usually they'll have all their different opinions, some more philosophical, some less, some more secular, some less, and on and on and on. And then you can talk to people that are religious, and they'll all have their opinions. Muslims have an opinion of Jesus. Hindus have an opinion of Jesus. Different Christian denominations and different